This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I had not known the story of Julian Marquez from Kansas City yet. UFC middleweight fighter since 14. 9 wins, 2 losses. And then after Vegas 23, of course, he made all kinds of headlines.
Julian, last time you had a great call out of Miley Cyrus. We're on ABC. I'm hearing that you want to say something else, and the floor is yours, my friend.
First and foremost, I am the entertainment you pay to see, but ABC gave it to you for free. So now I have a call out to give out to everyone from Kansas City. See, this is the thing. You guys know I'm the baddest man from Kansas City, the baddest middleweight in Missouri. And this is one thing, it's my time right now. So Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, I challenge you guys to a badminton or pickleball competition. Straight up, if you guys want to see who the pound-for-pound champ is of Kansas City, you coming after me. This magnificent beard tops all of what you guys have to bring.
Congratulations on the massive victory. Ladies and gentlemen, the badminton champion of the world, great fighter also, Julian Marquez.
So good, because they responded. They're in. So ESPN retweets it. You heard the man. Travis Kelce, we can settle all this up at Chicken Pickle. And Patrick Mahomes, need a couple weeks, but I'm always down for a challenge. Then Tyreek Hill, I'm down. So it's on.
I see a lot. He seems like the same kind of personality of just having so much fun, enjoying the spotlight.
Well, look, calling out Mahomes and Kelce and Hill are not the first. It's not the first time.
I came here to get the victory, and that's what I did. Can I make a call out?
You can make a call out.
All right. I've been waiting 31 months to get on this damn mic and to call these people out right now. It's my time to shine. So, Miley Cyrus, will you be my Valentine's?
Miley, you heard the call out.
Let's go.
It's your turn to respond. Julian, congratulations on a truly remarkable performance.
Born May 8th in Kansas City, Missouri, he is a middleweight UFC star who has been making headlines lately. First for his shout out to Miley Cyrus to be his Valentine, and then for throwing down the gauntlet this past Saturday, challenging Chiefs stars Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to a game of pickleball to see who the baddest man in Kansas City really is. Pair that with co-hosting a podcast, Beauty and the Beast, with adult film star Kendra Lust, and you have one of the most entertaining fighters in MMA today. Please welcome, the Cuban Missile Crisis, Kansas City's own, Julian Marquez.
Julian Marquez, welcome to the show, brother. How are you?
Oh, I'm golden, great, happy, and satisfied. Thank you for having me on, everybody. I appreciate y'all.
Man, congratulations. It's we've never run across each other, so it's all kind of it's fun to read about another Kansas City and find out this crazy journey you've already had at 30 years of age.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride since I was a kid coming up. Listening to your guys' show, which is crazy, having my mom always, you know, talk about your show in the household, you know, that was one of our biggest like highlights in the morning, every morning before school, all that. So it was pretty cool doing that. And today, man, I'm sitting here on air. Like, I have like the face for radio, so I'm super pumped.
Me too, man. I didn't realize in 18, first of all, congratulations on your fight the other night. That was a stunning ending. It's at a point where you start to feel bad for the other guy. Like, man, I think they ought to call this because this other guy might die here in a minute.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was definitely a, I didn't realize how scary it was until I watched it back, and I was like, "Oh wow, that was me."
Yeah, oof. Yeah. No, it was a very clear victory. And
thank you very much.
Yeah. So let me go back though. In 2018, you had a fight, and you actually tore your latissimus dorsi tendon clean off the bone. Now that's the one below your scapula, but it connects down towards your waist, correct?
Correct. I tore my latissimus dorsi tendon, which is the tendon that's in your lat that connects your side back all the way to your bottom of your arm. So any type of pulling, contraption, or anything lifting up, I had no mobility. I had no motion. Like I couldn't pull anything. And it happened inside the fight, July 6, 2018. So like it happened in the first round. My arm snapped off. And I had to proceed three rounds with one arm. I have a bunch of photos from that fight where you could see my body actually like trying to maneuver around and like grab a hold of him without being able to grab grab around his body. So like,
yeah.
I had my arm wrapped around his head, my right arm wrapped around his head, and my left arm grabbing the wrist of my arm because I couldn't pull, I couldn't grab. So I was using my arm as a belt, and just like pulling it.
That's so. After that fight, though, now you're 19 months unemployed. You're a kid then, starting out, and you're really like it's happening for you. You're getting traction. People are noticing. You're winning fights, and suddenly, it's done. I mean, this is a huge injury, and it takes 19 months. You can't open the freezer on the door. You can't lift any weights. You can't work out. You've got to get a surgery, and you didn't even have the money for the plane ticket to go to Chicago.
Yeah, no, it absolutely. It was, after I tore that out, we went to the doctors on Monday. That was a Saturday fight. On Monday, I went to the doctors and they were just like, "Hey, you need to get into surgery as soon as possible. You tore this, tendon off and like this thing it needs to be replaced." They ended up, trying to give it to me, like to a surgeon in California that's never operated on a athlete his entire life. The closest athlete he had was like those surfer, like parasailing surfer dudes, the guys that use the parachutes that like they're on the surfboard. I was like, yeah, I'm not trying to go there. So we actually, I had to wait like a couple, like a month, because we were searching for the right doctor.
Sure.
I talked to, you know, all these sports doctors from all over. I talked to MLB players that would suggest their doctors, and we went to Dr. Verma in Chicago, who has performed this type of surgery on MLB pitchers, because what happens with a pitcher when they throw a fastball and overextend their arm, they have a slight tear in that, and they have to go in and, you know, anchor one side of it down. But this doctor's done this surgery called about a little over 30 times, and he said he's never in his life seen someone's something so as severe as mine. He's never seen it completely severed off where he had to do reconstruction and put it back in. So it caused a lot of issues. It was supposed to be a three-month long, and after 3 months, I would have mobility in my arm, strength, and then about 6 months, I would be able to start getting back on the mats, start wrestling, in training, and then at 9 months, I would be able to be cleared to fight. Well, that didn't happen in the order that they saw. In 3 months, I developed this thing called adhesive capsulitis, which is called frozen shoulder.
Yeah, no, it's an immune response.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And for people that are listening, if you think about it, whenever you grab chicken out of the freezer, two pieces of chicken in the freezer, and they're stuck together,
yeah,
and you can't pull it apart, and you have to put the hot water on
it's terrible,
get
man.
A knife and shred it up. Yeah.
Yeah, and it lasts like a year a lot of times, or they can try to break it apart and work on it. So just in the interest of time, because there's a lot more to this story. Then you get cleared, and you're trying to get back on track, but the world shuts down, and you lose your house. You get kicked out, and you have to rent a room then in Vegas. You went from this upstart kid training in Vegas in the heart of the UFC, And you eventually ended up coming back home to Kansas City for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I lost last year. I lost my house. It wasn't really like I lost my house. The pandemic happened, and I just could not afford it.
Sure.
And the person that I was renting from was like a lawyer, and they just weren't nice. So we came to an agreement. I got out of the house. Luckily, I had some friends in Vegas that had a room. I rented a room, and I just pretty much put my stuff there at their house, paid them, and then I flew to Kansas City because my nephew was being born, Miguel. And during that time, I reached out to my old coach, V. James Krause, and asked if I could come back. And to be honest, James will tell you and testify. He said, yeah, sure, you can come in. I started training with him. Another friend of mine, Vince Cousy, he owns OGKC, kind of sat me down and told me the most realest thing I ever needed to hear, to where I was like, all right, well, I need a coach. I need to be back.
What did he tell you? What did Cousy tell you?
Man, you know, in 31 months, I had to figure out a way to get paid. I had to figure out a way to make money on the sideline. So during the time of my injury, I was doing a lot of social media stuff, man. If you look at my social media, I have the most entertaining social media. I got a sponsorship from a brand called Ball Wash. It literally...
Yeah, Ball Wash. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, so they make... Yeah, you guys are talking about like a one nut wonder over there. So, like, they actually make nut rubs so they can put it on that, like, that beautiful contraption they created. But it's a nut rub and a grooming product. So I would post like naked photos, and I would blur out the image, and walk around Las Vegas, doing like crazy things just to make sure I was making enough money to make ends meet. So then I just created this personality on social media. I started my own podcast with Beauty and the Beast. I was more so focused because my life had been driven towards like social media influencer. Let's do that to try to
sure.
make
it's
know,
part
make
of it now. It's,
where...
it's part of it now. You have to be that if you want to get to the top of your sport. You got to win the fights, but then you also got to be entertaining.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what it is. We're in the entertainment business. But I was so lost into the fight or into like the social media and to the people trying to please the people, but so I can end up making money because, again, fighting I couldn't fight. I didn't know when I was coming back prior. So when I actually got the news to come back, pandemic happened. I'm here in Kansas City, Vince Cousy. We're sitting at OGKC. We just got done hitting mitts, and he was just like, he drilled into me. He's like, dude, you got to figure out what you want to do, man. He goes, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Practice is going on, and you're sitting here taking photos with these women, you know, for your social media. He's like, it's fine. I don't care. But basically, if you want to be a fighter, go fight. He's like, don't try to sit there and put out on social media that you're trying to be a fighter, and then you're taking photos with these girls and you're skipping practice. He goes, your career's only going to last a little bit longer. You have a few years left in the tank. He's like, just figure out what you want. He's like, I don't want to be there with you and watch you go step into the octagon and take a half-ass fight and get hurt. He's like, you need to change your stuff up. You can't be complaining about this. You can't be complaining about that. So the next day I went to James and, I went to James and sat down with the team, Grant Dawson, Jason High, and Austin Ford. And the coaches were talking to me, and James was actually very, very rude. He was probably like, he made an unbelievable schedule that you would fail 100%. Like legitimately it was, He didn't want me on the team. He's like, hey, man, we don't have any big guys. We don't really need you on this team, but this is our schedule. This is our rules. You can't show up late. You need to show up here. You have to weigh in every single day, take a photo.
No, he knew you needed that. You'd slipped too far, and you needed someone to light your ass back up like a great big brother would or a genuine friend or a coach, you know, somebody that goes, hey, man, it's time, because they know you had something great inside of you as a fighter, Julian. If you're just joining the show, Julian Marquez, the Cuban Missile Crisis, just Alvey was the guy you fought. Rear naked choke. He went down. You get another win in the column, and UFC middleweight fighter from 14, and now back on all of the on the radars again. You got fight of the night the other night. So back to him. He's lighting you up, but that's what you needed, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's what I needed. I needed someone to care. You know, like,
yeah.
I went out to Vegas, and like the coaches that I had out there, you know, there's always, you know, Vegas is such a turning revolving city with a lot of people that come in and out. And there's a lot of talent that always come to Vegas because they have the Performance Institute, which is this top tier institute designed for all the fighters. It literally had strength and conditioning coaches from the highest of the high to physical therapists to nutritionists. And basically you were catered to whatever your body needed and what you needed. It was just it was amazing. So it brought in all the talent. But the thing is that I'm low on the totem pole. Even though I'm in the UFC, I'm higher than most, but I'm low on the totem pole whenever you have these fighters that walk in that their contracts are 100 and 100,000 and they're you know, top 15 in the world. And these coaches will kind of like push you away and veer towards them because that person's going to give them the most money. You know, it's the hottest girl in the room, I would say. You always go towards.
Exactly right. You want to be the hottest girl in the room. And that's, you know, it's great though because you understand it. So many fighters either don't understand the social media aspect or the business aspect. They get taken advantage of by an agent or a manager or a coach or the organization itself. You know, there's a McMahon in every group, right? And so you got to watch yourself on every level. You've had it almost taken away from you now, you know, with your injury. And you're back there again. Every time you throw that right, though, you got to think, is this the time? I mean, does that get in your head like, am I going to tear it again?
No, not at all. It never crosses my mind. It's stronger than it ever was. And the thing is like I'm telling you, man, like, I've grown up in Kansas City. I'm a Cuban-American. I've been in the hardcore scene for the longest time. My brother has a band, Spine. And I've gone to hardcore shows my entire life, so I've always been taught that, you know, things are going to happen. There's nothing you can stop in when you're in the pit or anything like that. And when I go in the fight, like, I'm going there to finish it regardless of what happens. I can tear an arm, break a leg, get a laceration. But when bell rings from start to finish, I'm going out for the win, and it doesn't matter what happens to me in there. I'm giving you all my heart.
Here's the thing about fighters. I finally had to realize, because I could never wrap my head around the fact that you guys will walk in and just, it's war. It's really the worst thing you can possibly imagine as a non-fighter. Just the beating that you're giving and taking. And as soon as that bell rings and it's over, for the most part, people are instantly okay with each other again. And there's a difference in people that can do that. Guys who can give you and beat you like that without anger are the scariest people in the world to me, because there's just, then it becomes a profession.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the thing, man, like, not all fighters are you know, rude.
No,
or
not mean, at all.
They're not. The thing is that, like, it's a paycheck. We put on entertainment for people to escape the reality that they live in. They put on entertainment to see some sort of excitement. And this is the thing, during the pandemic, the UFC was one of the first sports to open up, and everybody just needed something to look at, and they watched fighters compete on live television, and it was something that everybody just enjoyed. And that's what it is. Like, I bring joy to people through putting my body on the line, and it's the same thing. NFL players do the same stuff. Basketball players do the same thing. Granted, they don't punch each other.
Well, not always.
They put their body on it. They run into each other. They hit each other super hard. Yeah. I'd rather get punched in the face than take a straight, you know, I don't know, Khalil Mack tackle. Like, there's no way I would stay out on the line and let that dude hit me.
Right. Well, listen, no, you're going to find out what's happening with, you get Tyreek Hill out there, you get, you know, Kelsey, and then this pickleball tournament, which I genuinely hope it happens. And Patrick Mahomes, of course, but think about what we're talking about. So we've covered you growing up in Kansas City, the getting to Vegas, starting to feel it, and then having it tear. I mean, a really dark place, man. You could have laid down. You come back, you reset, friends wrap their arms around you, and you come back into the UFC, and you're in a great spot. You're winning. That next day, all of a sudden, look who you're trucking with. Like, you're all of a sudden, you're Pat Kelsey answers, Mahomes answers, Hill answers. That's That's for goddamn ridiculous, man.
It's the greatest thing in the world. Like, most people don't understand, like, Kansas City is the heart of America, middle of the map, get it how you live it. And they just, it doesn't matter. They support you as a person. They've
yeah.
always been there for every single one of their athletes. And it's just amazing. It didn't take days. It didn't take hours. It didn't take weeks to get a response. It took moments.
Isn't that crazy?
Minutes after my fight announcement, Kansas City was already back on my shoulders, and they were sitting there supporting me. And it's like, it's the one thing that I've missed in my entire career. You know, I lost my mom in 2014, and that was the reason why I packed my stuff up and I left to Vegas, was to pursue something. You know, I started managing my own career at that point in time, and just taking fights and just I'm going after it. I'm going for what I wanted. I packed my bags. I left my city. I left my home. I lived in a place that I didn't know, and I just went after it. And then during the time when I was out there, I didn't have that love. Like, there wasn't anybody that I could sit there and wake up in the morning and call to, like, come to my aid if I was sick or
no, Vegas,
if I was down.
Los Angeles, like all that. That's no, man. It's here today, gone later today. You know, it's a rough world. You're right. You got to build a shield up because it's not Kansas City. This is the greatest city. I don't even want to tell people outside of Kansas City how great it is here. I don't want them to come here.
No, they can stay out. They can stay out there because, man, I'm telling you, you know how crazy it is. This is the most insane thing in the world, is that, like, I would walk and open a door for an older lady. An older man, I would open the door, and they'd walk in, and this is in Vegas, and they just walk in. And if I walked out, and I would hold the door open, and they'd walk out. Here, these people in Kansas City would say thank you.
Yeah.
Or they'd be like, hey, you know what? Go right ahead and grab the door from me.
Yeah,
go on
of
in.
Course, of course. Yeah, we've talked about this on the air so many times. Like, it drives me goddamn crazy. I'm telling you, Julian, like, I'll open the door, and I'm like, you're welcome! You're welcome!
Like,
for God's sake.
Times.
Yeah. No, you got to stay KC, man. It's you know, you never want to become part of them. That's going to be the thing that makes you great. It's going to be the thing that makes Miley Cyrus call you.
Yeah, that's the thing. She's texted me, you know, that's the cool thing. And like,
hold on. Wait. You know? You're telling me you have Miley Cyrus' cell number?
I guess I should DM. So we'll do a DM. I didn't ever ask for
still sliding into your DM.
Look how polite you are. I still don't want to know.
Sliding into your DMs, pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I did it for the Valentine's Day. Like,
yeah.
That's it. I just wanted her as my Valentine's to say that I had her as my Valentine's, because, you know, that's super amazing. But in all honesty, I can tell you I'm 100% focused on my career. I'm 100% focused on being the ABC Bachelor. I'm 100% focused on excelling my entire life.
That's a lot of 100%. You got a lot of 100% here, Julian.
A lot of passion.
Man, I'm working on 1,000%, okay? You know, I'm all in.
Brother, it's just fantastic to make the friendship, man. The Cuban Missile Crisis, Julian Marquez. Find him on Facebook. Find him on Instagram. Find him on Twitter. Find him on all the social media platforms. And follow him, most of all, when he fights. Did they give you a date for another fight yet, or are we just waiting?
We're just waiting. I jacked up my hand, my right hand, on Sam this past weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm on a suspension. I have to go get it checked out.
You looked like you might have done it. You hit him about 72 times. He was trying to fall down, and you weren't letting him.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, he was still pushing forward, and he was still moving, so I had to make sure.
That's all hard.
Sure.
Look, when you're in Kansas City, I'll make sure Jake gives you my cell, and anytime, man, anytime at all, we'll grab a beer, we'll catch up, we'll get to know each other, man. I'm pleased to meet your acquaintance.
Absolutely. Likewise. Thank you guys for having me on. I definitely will let you know that this pickleball tournament, I'm still in the process of setting up, but I want to reach out to a local talent and kind of make it a little bit bigger than just, you know, the Chiefs players. I would like to have celebrities and local people kind of just bring the influence. So we're working on a place, and maybe we can get you out there on a pickleball court to play there and just...
You know what? Never played it even once, so why wouldn't I? Yeah, I mean...
It is the best. Pickleball, man. It's just like a bigger table tennis. Think of it like that.
Listen,
but
as long
not
as...
quite tennis.
As long as they got whiskey, I'll take a whack at it. I'm in.
Let's go.
All right, brother. Listen, again, good to meet you, man. stay right there. Hold on, I'm going to make sure. Hold on. Hey, Jake. Give myself. That's what I love. That's a story.
What a fun kid, a good kid.
Yeah, and a guy who's, I mean, it's not easy. I see guys out there that don't have any appreciation when it's been handed to them. And then you see guys like that who had it, lost it, and found their way back again. It's never, it's the old cliche about fighting, but it's so true. It's not how hard they knock you down. It's if you stand back up again. And if you can just keep getting back up, dude, you'll finally get there. And will get there.
I love that he found his way back to the circle of people that really wanted to kick his ass to get him up.
That's right.
They knew his potential, but they knew they had to be on him.